President Bush led America to war in Iraq with claims that Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction and posed a serious threat to the United States and the world. Mr. Bush made his case in a speech in Cincinnati in October 2002.
Some ask how urgent this danger is to America and the world. The danger is already significant, and it only grows worse with time. If we know Saddam Hussein has dangerous weapons today, and we do, does it make any sense for the world to wait to confront him as he grows even stronger and develops even more dangerous weapons?
This past week, David Kaye, the recently resigned chief of the Iraq Survey Group, went to Capitol Hill and reported he could find no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or evidence of programs to build such weapons. Kaye faulted U.S., French, German, and British intelligence assessments that reported Saddam possessed biological and chemical weapons and was working to develop nuclear ones. Kaye told lawmakers such intelligence failures needed to be investigated by an independent inquiry, but Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Kansas Republican, balked.
I personally take some umbrage at people who, for one reason or another, think we need to have an outside investigation before our inquiry is even complete.
Arizona Republican John McCain, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, acknowledged that congressional investigations had been launched. But on NPR's All Things Considered last evening, McCain cautioned that partisan politics could hamper them.
They will not be unanimous in their conclusions. There'll be differences between Democrat and Republican members. So we need an outside, respected commission to find out what went wrong and why it is the United States and the world's intelligence agencies came to incorrect conclusions. Because in the future, we have to rely on the judgment of the President of the United States. He can only have the kind of judgment we want him to have if he has accurate intelligence estimates.
Joseph Cerencioni is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and co-author of a recent report on Iraq's weapons program, and he's in the studio. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
David Kaye placed the fault at the feet of the intelligence community. Is that fair?
Well, there certainly is a lot of fault there. The intelligence agencies clearly let us down, but it doesn't just stop at Langley. There was a lot of intelligence collection and analysis going on outside the normal agencies. In fact, in our report, we identified this as one of the telltale signs that there was political pressure brought upon the intelligence agencies to perhaps change their assessments to conform to administration policy. For example, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld had set up a special office of special plans that was collecting intelligence, presenting it directly to the president. Vice President Cheney was very active in the intelligence gathering operation. The Washington Post reports this morning that it was Vice President Cheney's office that gave Secretary of State Colin Powell the first draft of Powell's UN speech. So there's a lot of places we have to look, not just over at the CIA headquarters.
But the CIA and congressional investigators, according to Dana Priest of the Washington Post in a report Saturday, found evidence that the CIA adjusted findings under pressure from the White House. Do you believe the CIA managed to be independent?
No, I don't. I thought Dana Priest's story was particularly poor, actually, yesterday. She based it on two Republican members of Congress who were apparently giving her some details of their report before they released it, and an administration-appointed intelligence official. So the full story isn't out yet. We think there is a significant evidence that there was pressure upon the CIA, and we point, for example, to the number of visits that Vice President Cheney made to CIA headquarters in August of 2002, raising tough questions about the analysis he was being given, the speed at which the National Intelligence Estimate was put together in October, the fact that the October National Intelligence Estimate on Iraq is so different from all previous assessments. These are telltale signs. We don't know yet what happened. That's why we need an independent commission to take a hard look at this.
I want to go back to that, but I also want to ask you, because intelligence was also coming from other sources, four countries usually allied, U.S., Germany, France, Britain, all had independent but similar intelligence reports. Germany and France chose not to follow Britain and Washington's lead to war. Were there dissenting voices from capital to capital about how to interpret these reports?
Absolutely. You know, David Kaye's probably single most famous phrase of the last week is, "We were all wrong." And if he means by that that we got it completely wrong, that's absolutely true. But if he means that all of us were wrong, that's not true. There were major dissenting voices within the intelligence services. This is another part of what we think is an indication of pressure. You know, and entire agencies dissented from key findings in the National Intelligence Estimate over, for example, whether Saddam really had reconstituted his nuclear weapons, whether he really did have these unmanned aerial vehicles. The agency that knew the most about it, the Air Force, said, no, we don't believe that's true, yet Colin Powell went and made that a major part of his UN speech. With internationally, it's true that everybody had concerns, and this is where it's true. We all thought that Saddam had some kinds of weapons. But Germany, for example, said at the UN, we disagree with the U.S. assessment. It's not true that all the other countries thought the same, had the same assessments. Everybody had concerns, but only the U.K. and the U.S. were so certain that this threat was growing, was a severe threat to the national security of the world, of the country and the world, that we had to go to war. And that's where the divide was, not necessarily over weapons or suspicions, but over war.
Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill claimed that some members of the Bush administration came into office wanting to go to war against Iraq. Do you believe there was this determination?
Yes, I do, and there's quite a bit of evidence to support it. It's not just Paul O'Neill, of course, who says this. There's frontline specialists that have documented, for example, the war behind closed doors. Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz's insistence on February 12th of 2001, the day after the World Trade Center attack, that we had to go attack Iraq, that Iraq certainly must have been behind this. So there definitely was a push to get at Iraq for reasons that had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. As Paul Wolfowitz said in his Vanity Fair article, weapons of mass destruction was the bureaucratic reason we could all settle on.
Do you think there can be an independent investigation in the U.S. that will reach a conclusion that will be broadly accepted?
I think there has to be, and we've got to find a way to take the politics out of it. David Kaye is absolutely right. This is an urgent national security issue. People perhaps haven't realized yet, this is almost unprecedented, this massive intelligence failure. I mean, this wasn't some simple issue we got wrong. We got a major country's arsenal wrong. We went to war over it. We have jeopardized international relations for decades to come over the threat that wasn't there. So we have got to get this right. It looks like the president is now inclined to agree that we have to have an independent commission, although his officials were saying there was no need for this as recently as 2 days ago. The trick now will be, how do we stack the deck? How do we assemble that commission so that it's the fairest commission possible, so that we can take a non-political, non-partisan view of what went wrong, how to fix it, and how do we make sure this never happens again?
And how do you do that?
Well, first thing you do is you bring experts in and try to eschew politicians, try to avoid a political figure with one side of the one position or the other as leader of the commission. You give it the resources that it has. You give it the scope. You cannot limit the scope. That'll be the first warning sign that something's wrong if there are efforts to limit the scope, for example, just to the established intelligence agencies and not allow it to look, for example, at the vice president's office or the secretary of defense's office. Give it a broad scope, money to do its staff, subpoena power so that it can call people and get witnesses. That's the way you'll know we're on the right track.
Joseph Cerencioni is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, where he directs the Nonproliferation Project. Last month, he co-authored a report, WMD in Iraq, Evidence and Implications. Thanks so much for coming into the studio.
My pleasure. Good morning to you.